You're listening to the Mixed Morning Show podcast with Dom, Emily, and Jeremy.
So I wanted to chat about this story that came out where they went out and surveyed, I guess, a ton of people who'd been divorced about why their relationship didn't work out. Like, in other words, what were the top causes for splitting up? And I thought it might be kind of interesting for people who maybe see these as warning signals, maybe could take corrective measures, you know, like preventive maintenance kind of thing.
Yeah. Honey, you're doing number three. Stop. It's number three on Tom's list. Stop it. Quit nagging me. Is that number three, nagging?
Number three is someone cheated.
It's close.
That you'd think that would be a little higher.
You think that'd be like number one.
Number three. Is number three, someone cheated and the relationship couldn't survive it. Any other guesses on here?
Kind of a given.
And I'll tell you if you're right. You've already guessed number three.
Is there something with family? You just can't get enough of her family. You can't stand them.
Yeah, mother-in-laws.
Always talking about how she's going to move in.
That's not the not on the list.
Is that on the list?
No.
Okay.
That'll push a man over the edge.
How about some moolah? Money's got to be on there.
Now, when you say that'll push it, put a pin in your money.
Yeah, it will, Dom.
All right.
When you talk about it pushing a man over the edge, how many women out there have had to deal with their mother-in-law?
Seriously,
Jeremy.
Oh, my precious little son, my little prince. Really?
Nicole's mother-in-law lives a block away.
My mother. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You're
Nicole's
right.
Mother-in-law.
Yeah, I had to puzzle that out for a
second.
Is
only a block away.
Yeah. She's great. She's a good babysitter. Nice to have close by.
Nicole's mom doesn't have insanely high standards about who should be with her precious little boy.
That's long gone, Emily. That's years ago.
All right, Emily, let's go back to your money.
Money.
Let's see if
cash money.
That's such a icky, stressy.
No, it's not on the list.
What?
This list is bunk.
You think so? Well, they
went number one.
But here's the thing. You're used to lists that are created by the so-called, you know, experts, the people who have the PhD and sit there and smoke a pipe.
Is this a divorce list?
This
is a survey of thousands of people who are divorced.
Well,
so you're actually going to the source.
So you're not, say you're not sexually attracted to them or anything, but they're all chubby and frumpy.
Oh, you gained a lot of love weight.
Number two, we weren't attracted to each other anymore, physically.
Sure.
Guessed number three, that someone cheated. Number two,
what's number one?
They were not attracted to each other anymore.
So then is no more boom boom? Would that go along with
that? That'd probably
two?
Be number two.
Number two, okay. Yeah. Get off me. You're too heavy.
What do you think, as a side note for number two, let's say it wasn't even like you guys both gained 10 pounds and you changed how you look. What if like you look, the same, the similar, you know, you've been, you know, going to great clips and things are all right. But you're like, do you think you still wouldn't be attracted to that person if you still look the same? Do you think that kind of fades in and out?
I think that's an interesting question, and it might fall into the category of what if the other person's tastes just change? Like if you start thinking about how foods, just for an example, everybody can probably pick a certain food that like growing up or whatever, they hated it, and now they're an adult and suddenly they love it. Okay, well, your tastes change in a lot of areas. Some there's certain beverages that people couldn't stand, and now they drink it all the time. Why wouldn't your taste in people be free to change?
If you love mac and cheese, but you eat mac and cheese every single day,
you're going to be
sick of it.
You want bacon on that mac and cheese.
Correct.
Or ketchup.
Kick it up.
Mm-hmm. But you want me just to stop you from having to guess anymore and
just
tell you some of these? Number four on the list, one person wanted kids and the other didn't. Hi, Jeremy.
Well, yeah, that was definitely the case.
Kids, plural. How are your two little ones?
Yeah, that was...
You know, you'd think you'd get that out of the way before you put a ring on it, but hey, that's just my never-been-married opinion.
Yeah, but that changes too. Like when you're with somebody then for 7-8 years and you're like, wow, I love this person so much, we should procreate. Like the pre-ring conversation, that'll fizzle away. When you're like in a committed relationship.
I think people like know if they want to do it or not.
Yes. And I know a couple. I know a couple where the guy has always stated that he wants kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman's always been like, yeah, we'll talk about that. I'm sure that's a possibility. Where I found out from behind the scenes that she's totally lying. She never has any intention. They've been married for 6, 7, 8 years now or something. And she keeps saying, yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll get to that, whatever. And she never once was up front with him and said, I'm not having children.
She better get two IUDs.
She's kind of been stringing him along.
Man.
Oh, well, throw them on the list, huh?
Dang.
Yeah, Dom's friends, number four.
Number four for Dom's friends. Number five, work got in the way. Seen that
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
Number six, alcohol or drug abuse.
Well, yes, well,
good
of
Lord, that escalated quickly.
When you're on the meth all the time.
heroin is really not
Honey,
fun.
Honey, get off the meth.
Nicole's clean and sober now, though, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's
number
been
seven,
like 6 months.
We wanted to live in different places. Get a load of this. Either for work or to be closer to family.
Just move her on in.
Maybe that's where the family part comes in. And number seven.
Oh, man.
Number eight, we didn't have anything in common anymore.
Well,
that might be a catch-all. You know, if you just grow apart sort of thing.
Yeah, that's not, that's just being lazy and throwing, that's not watering your own grass. You know what I mean? Like, you guys have to.
I like that phrase.
Yeah, you have to put in the effort to stay engaged with the love of your life, you people. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, whatever.
Number nine, we broke up. Number nine is fascinating. It says, quote, we broke up because of an illness. So the whole in sickness and in health apparently does not fly with a lot of people. They just say the words.
Like, what kind of illness?
They talk the talk but don't walk.
Like, if it's herpes? Is it like a weird skin thing? And
scabies?
Psoriasis? Like, if, I mean, I could see that.
Well, what if it's like the clap? Because then that includes the cheating, number three, and
I don't even know what that is. I'd have to Google
the
clap.
Avoid
the
clap, Jimmy Dugan.
Jeremy, you've got to be thankful that that stuff you had on your face a couple of weeks ago didn't last.
The hand, foot, and mouth disease.
The hoof and claw.
She actually liked that. It kind of, it was, you know.
Turned her on.
Kind of spiced things up a little bit, Dom.
She liked it because she had to sleep in another room, you idiot.
I know, she's pretty
kinky. She got the H out of Dodge.
She liked itching me.
She was like, oh, itch my back. To sleep with this guy.
Scratch my back.
So the number one reason on the list was we weren't in love anymore.
Oh, that's so sad.
Kind of a biggie.
Which is kind of vague, but it seems true enough. It's similar to the we grew apart. We were not in love anymore.
So we fell out of love.
Fell out of love, and they just kind of went their separate ways.
That
seems easy.
You got to fall back in love.
That seems like the best way to do it, though, to just be like, we both agree that we're really not in love anymore, and you just kind of move on. You fizzle out and move on.
Probably not any angst or anger.
Yeah, that seems like the best way.
If it's
going to
happen, that's how it should happen.
Really, that's probably the best way.
It's one of the reasons why, and I take a lot of crap from some people when I start, you know, going, if somebody will call in, they'll say, yeah, we're 21, we're getting married next year. And I'm always like, it's not that I don't acknowledge, let me just say for the record, that there are some of those marriages that work out. Yes, there are. But I mean, if you took every 100 marriages of people who are 20, 21 years old, and you and I bet on the number that will last, I'm going to win the bet. Sadly, it's just because people change. So I'm not saying if you wait till you're 30, you'll never get divorced. I just think your odds kind of go down because you change so much from the day you get out of high school until you're like 30, 32. You become a completely different person. And I think that's what's in number one here. I think people fall in love maybe in their early 20s, but they become different people by the time they're in their 30s.
I think that, I mean, even from your 30s to your 40s, I think people cycle. I know this sounds weird that I have a number on it, but I think around every 7 years, people just change kind of internally, spiritually.
I can't argue with that.
The whole seven-year itch thing?
I think there's a seven-year cycle, and you got to change and grow together in the same direction, and, you know, and then not, you know, to have sex with somebody that's not your husband or wife.
There is that.
So
year seven.
Write that down.
Time to have an affair.
Write that down.
I've known Jer-Bear for so many years, and I've watched it. Ever since I've known you, you've been with Nicole. You guys were dating when I first met you, and now you're married with two kids. So I've seen the whole transition. And I've seen you kind of go through your highs and your lows. And right now, it's interesting to me. You guys say you're at the highest point.
I really think so, and I think it's one of the main ways I judge the barometer of this is kind of silly, but I judge it on the amount of kitchen embraces, which is we spend a lot of time in the kitchen, whether we're packing lunches or getting the kids fed or
it's
just hanging out, the dishes, the general conversation point of the house, I think for a lot of people, is the kitchen. And the amount of kitchen embraces that we have you can't count them. Every day we're in the kitchen, we're holding each other. She'll grab me, pull me in. I'll grab her, pull her in. Even if the kids are in the background screaming, throwing food, you know, something's burning on the stove. Mm-hmm. I would pull her in and kiss her, and we would just make eye contact and laugh, you know, just be like how crazy it is right now. And we have a lot of kitchen embraces. So I think that's huge for relationships, and ours is really strong when it comes to the embrace right now.
Yeah.
A lot of embrace. And you know, then I kind of reach her down and grab her butt a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Oh, she likes that a little bit too.
That was so sweet, Jeremy. Yeah. I want to vomit all over you.
I don't know that there's a dry eye amongst all of our listeners.
So
right
count
now.
Your kitchen embraces.
Kitchen
I'm
embraces.
Telling you, that's mm-hmm. the key to a happy marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's other, you know, other mumbo jumbo. Like we've hit some pretty decent financial goals, so we're not really fighting about money stuff. We're on the same page with kid issues. I mean, we're just a well-oiled machine right now. You know, and you have to be when you have two working parents and kids.
Do you think it's become also kind of an us against them type of situation?
Against the kids?
No.
Against the world?
Yes. Against the kids, you may laugh, but I think so, especially because you guys have been through some close to traumatic events with them, especially with Lila being born, you know, what, 6-7 weeks premature
early,
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had to kind of rally together as a team. And I wonder if that's had
that
a lot
could be
to do
a
with
huge
it, too.
Part of it. Yeah. And we thank each other a lot, too, even if it's for little things. You know, thanks for folding my laundry, or thanks for making me I made her a juice drink this morning before I left at 4 a.m. or whatever. You know, she's thanked me for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we laugh a lot together. And I think that's huge, too. You got to laugh and you got to poke fun at each other and poke fun at your horrible situations. You know, if the kids are going nuts, you laugh about it and be like, well, you're gonna miss this, like the country song, you're gonna miss this.
Mm-hmm.
So am I all too schmoopy for you guys?
No, I like it because we've needed this kind of show for a while. Yeah. and I'm glad to hear that.
So I would suggest if you're having a bad day with your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, hug them in the kitchen tonight.
Get it on,
get them close.
The
you don't even have to get it on. I mean, you don't have to have sex or anything, just look in their eyes. Hug them and tell them thank you. It's
yeah,
huge.
I think that's a great suggestion.
Huge.
Man,
hug
what
them
is
and
going on in the world? If Jeremy is talking sweet and we're taking advice from him, there is something really upside down. What the hell just happened?
We're in bizarro world, aren't we? Because I was waiting. Here's what I'm doing. I was waiting and I was waiting and I was waiting.
For something snarky?
Yes, because I thought what you were going to say was, you know, I hug Nicole in the kitchen and I thank her, blah, blah, blah. And then I tell her to get busy and make me some damn dinner.
Make me a sandwich. And then I make a fart noise.
Well, there it is.
There.
And all is well in the world again. That didn't last
very long. Not at all. That was stupid.
I think Jeremy has a point, though. Can I just say?
Please.
Even if your significant other isn't really worthy of a thank you at this time, you know, they're just like sitting around, they're not really contributing.
Get off the Xbox.
Yeah. Look for something and then do it. And then I think the positive reinforcement of how that makes them feel when they get acknowledged for something little will just start to
build, the mundane
snowball.
Tasks.
Yes.
I mean, Nicole does take care of the laundry. This isn't a male-female thing, but she just likes taking care of the laundry. And I tell you, there's nothing better when I come home from work and like my t-shirts and underpants are folded right there on the bed and they smell fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
For a change.
For a change.
For 30 seconds.
It's the best feeling. And I thank her for that. I'm like, thank you for folding my underpants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No one else would do that for me except my mom.
Except your mom.
But thank you.
Want more laughs? Follow us online.
Every morning.
Search at Dom Emily Jeremy on Twitter and Facebook.com/Dom Emily Jeremy.